their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. eBay Captain of Industry.
Mr. eBay Captain of Industry.
Whether it's Grandma's prosthetic leg, a G.I. Joe with Kung Fu grip, or a water pump from a 79 Gremlin, you smell money where others smell garbage.
One man's trash is another man's auction.
Armed only with a digital camera, a PC, and a detailed knowledge of Yu-Gi-Oh cards, you, Mr. eBay Captain of Industry, have created an empire.
The Donald Trump of cyberspace.
Your reserve is always low.
And you package carefully, yeah.
So the next time you purchase a set of vintage clown figures or a Mama's Family Betamax box set, be sure to use PayPal and give positive feedback to Mr. eBay, Captain of Industry, a real American hero.
Mr. eBay, Captain of Industry.
You made how much off that autographed Kevin Federline hat?
Damn.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, August 11th. Welcome to the show one more time. Once again.
Breaking news here.
The economic news is not so great. The stock market is down. And I guess people are fearing that the recession is not over. It's just going to get worse around the world. So, just like I said, you know, seven good years, seven bad years. If you read the Bible, you know exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, I never looked at it that way.
No?
Yeah.
If you remember, back in Egypt, they had seven good years, seven bad years. And that's why they would stockpile on all the stuff when things were good.
Yeah, but I don't think that that's a continual pattern throughout history. There's been examples of that, but I don't think necessarily.
I'll bet you.
Every seven years?
We're already 3 years into it or something? Give it some time.
Has it really been bad? Has it been so bad?
I mean, it's been good for 7 years.
But I mean, these last 3 years, has it been so bad? I mean, I know we've...
It's bad for some people,
Well, listen, yeah, it's true. I mean, some people lost a lot, but it's not like... I've heard it said this way. It's like people that had homes that couldn't afford them in the first place, they lost their homes. And they're still living in... They're living in apartments now. They're not... They're not living on the street. They're not living in dumpsters, you know?
Yeah, but there's a lot of unemployment.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, bad. Like, it's
pay.
Yeah, but it's like, how bad is bad?
Mm.
I'm not saying
it's pretty bad. I mean, some people. Yeah, I mean, look, we can't take ourselves as an example. There's a lot of people that are really hurting, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying there hasn't been some true loss. There has been. I'm not minimalizing it, but I am saying in the bigger spectrum of it's just so bad out there. I mean, I won't go down my lifestyle, but I don't have a lot at all. But I have a lot of fun and a lot of love.
Right.
And I'm kind of like, really, how bad is life?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's about perspective.
No, it is. It is, you know. But, I mean, you make do with not much, which is cool. But people that have,
I have some friends that had a lot invested in the stock markets. I've got friends' parents that lost a lot. And, it's, you know, for some people, there was a huge loss. Mm. And, I mean, there's no way to say it, but there was a huge loss.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they still get to go out to eat. They still put gas in their car. They still have their home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Again, but, you know, drive down Ventura Boulevard here and see how many stores are closed and for lease and stuff, you know. That's scary, I'm telling you. You know, a lot of businesses, this is, you're talking about people without a business, without a job, and how many people are involved in that business that would be affected by it. By its closing.
No, I understand. And I mean, I've been in the job market, job searching and things like that. I mean, I know how weird it is right now.
Yeah.
It's just a weird industry. It's a weird market.
Yeah.
It's very weird, actually.
Yeah.
and I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm not one of these like, oh, just think positive, it'll go away. But I also think like complaining about it, it's kind of like, look at what you do have versus what you don't. I mean, and as far as a perspective goes.
Yeah. Well, it's not a question of complaining. I'm just reporting it.
Not complaining, just reporting, everybody.
There
here
you
live
go.
From Sam and Karen in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
And you're listening to the news right here.
There you go, Sam. You should start doing you know, a little bit of voiceover.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, I'm just saying perspective.
Perspective.
I don't know. I mean, I think in
it's
some ways...
It's easy for us to say, you know, until you talk to some people who are really hurting, you know. I mean, people with families and stuff, you know, and they don't have...
Yeah, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm not saying that it's not true, because it is.
Good.
It is. I mean, we have a very high unemployment
rate. As long as we're in agreement, that's good.
Yeah, and I do agree. I guess what I'm saying is that, like, compared to the Great Depression, mm-hmm. I don't think this is the Great Depression.
No, but it's pretty bad.
I mean, it's bad from where we came from. Mm. You know, we were kind of soaring high.
We had some good years, yeah.
We were soaring pretty high economically.
Yeah.
But I mean, people are renting. People have...
Bring on the good times. That's what I say.
We're just... Okay.
So what happened to our guest today? You said
something was wrong. We had a guest, and he... unfortunately, his car got a flat tire on the freeway.
Yeah.
Had to get it towed. Sent me two pictures.
How do people always get things happening to them when they go to a radio station?
Mm-hmm. Well, he sent me two pictures to verify. And it's funny because I was asking Sam, I'm like, Sam, have you ever had your car towed? And he's like, well, of course, after like an accident or something. I'm like, but you never had it towed just because you're a slacker? Because you can talk about hard times. I mean, I was in a place where whatever, couldn't do anything, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, or stuff wasn't getting done. And I think I had my tags were like still from Texas and I'd been out here 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then, like, they were expired from Texas, so
really?
It was all kinds of
so
wrong.
So the cops didn't like that.
It was all kinds of wrong. So I went hiking at Runyon Canyon, and I came walking back, and I saw a cop looking at my car. And I was afraid to walk up to my car, and this was when I was much younger. I was, like, you know, uh-huh. really not as responsible as I am now. So I didn't walk up to my car, and I was like, shit. I was just, like, staking it out, hoping he was just going to put a ticket on it and walk away. Uh-huh. Well, then a tow truck comes up, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I was afraid. I didn't know how it worked. I didn't know if I was going to get arrested, so I didn't want to walk up to my car.
You don't get arrested for things like that.
Well, I didn't know, so yeah. I was scared, and so I didn't walk up to my car.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man. And then I had to be...
So you were just watching them tow away
yeah,
your car?
Yeah, I was just like in the bushes watching, like, what do I do? What do I do? And so I was like, man, I've got to get home. I got to get to work. And I had to be at work in like an hour. So that means like I was going to run home as opposed to drive my car, which is about a 30-minute run.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd have to throw myself together and go to work. And so I'm huffing. I'm puffing. I'm just like running fast as I can. I turn the corner and I'm running and I see my car just going off like in the tow truck. I'm waving to it like, it was just so...
Oh God, that's funny.
Funny. It was like funny and sad.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to charge me so much money to get out of tow, which was worth more than... It was cost me more than the car was worth.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, no, you just keep it then. Shit. Have fun with it. Slap a new paint job on it. Get that oil leak fixed.
Wow.
Well, you have to pay us this. Well, I didn't ask you to take it.
Yeah.
You have to pay us X amount of money for holding it. I said, well, nobody asked you. I didn't ask you to take it.
The cops did.
Whatever.
Yeah, so make the cops pay,
right?
There
you go. Have fun with that. So I left it.
Yeah.
Anyway, back.
No, it never happened to me when I ran out of gas or anything, you know? That would be embarrassing.
Have you ever ran out of gas?
No.
Never?
Never.
In your life?
No. Because I always refill when I'm like around the quarter tank or a little less than that, maybe an eighth. You know, I don't wait until it's fucking on the E.
You don't ride that E till it... Till
no,
you see
I don't.
How do you know what
I don't
want to
take chances.
I ran out of gas on the freeway. Chances. Then I coasted down the feeder.
Yeah.
I got stories for days, guys. I coasted down the feeder. And then we went to... Then I kind of coasted through the light.
Uh-huh.
And my car stopped in the light
uh-huh.
in the middle of the intersection off the feeder. But there's a gas station.
Yeah.
And so I'm out pushing in, of course, high heels.
Yeah.
With a bunch
I'm
of guys.
Sure, yeah,
yeah,
guys
they
came
helped me
out
push
and
it.
Helped
yeah.
you. Yeah.
Helped me push it. And then I was like, okay, I'll put $5 in. And this guy was like, you just ran out of gas. You're only putting $5 in your car?
Yeah. You can almost count on people helping you when you're on high heels.
I don't know. I mean, it hasn't happened to me since, thank you, Lord. But definitely, I don't know. I talked to this lady, and she said that she saw a girl that was pushing her car.
Mm-hmm.
that had the same experience. And this woman got out of her car to help her push. And she's like, guys were just driving by, honking and going, woohoo, and nobody
really?
Stopped. But they didn't stop and get out and help her. I was
maybe
like, that's
maybe she wasn't
awful.
Attractive enough.
Why would they go, woohoo, if she's hot and then not get out and help her?
Mm.
Just maybe, it's a crazy yeah. town.
Yeah.
It's like people don't care.
Well, if they think they're going to get something from you, then they'll help out. You know, but you got to make it clear.
I make what clear?
Yeah. I'll spread for you if you push my
don't
car.
Don't say that. That sounds gross. I don't like when you say that.
Why?
Because it's like
you don't
invasive.
Like when I say a lot of things.
Yeah, but that's just like...
It's
just,
funny, though.
It's, keep that little porn talk to yourself.
It's
I want
to
hear
say.
It.
Say.
It's funny that I react this way and you get it weirded out. It's like, I think guys say things because they like girls to go...
No, not at all. Not at all. I just think it's funny. What can I say? You don't think so.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. So did you hear in China... Where's the thing here? I lost it here. But I guess in China, they found a few babies, baby girls, that had breasts growing and pubic hair when they were like less than 2 years old. And they're connecting that to the milk that they drink. You know, so it's... where is it? Oh, okay. Powdered milk from China. Yeah, caused baby to grow breasts. That's pretty wild, huh?
Well, all in all, I think the whole baby girls in China thing pisses me off anyway. I don't want to hear stuff like that, you know, because they don't value that life.
Yeah, but I don't think this was like done intentionally.
No, it wasn't. It's different. It's a different situation, but it's just another reason for me to, you know.
Probably like a lot of hormones in the milk.
Yeah. They probably just, yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't that, like, freak you out?
Hell yeah, if my kid came out with pubes or a beard. I'd be like, I'm sorry, you gave me the wrong kid. A friend of mine showed me a baby picture of her friend. Her friends had a baby picture,
mm-hmm.
new baby. They're like, oh, look at their new baby.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't warn me. The kid had, it's actually kind of funny and cute, but I was like, wah! This kid showing it in a bassinet with, like, a sucky in its mouth, whatever it's called. What are those?
Pacifier.
Thank you. And, you know, cute little booties on.
Uh-huh.
Its whole left side of its face, like there's a patch over the eye and a little bit of the upper cheek, is completely like dark brown black. And it's got
really?
Hair growing on it.
Oh, my God.
And it's wrinkly.
Wow.
And I wasn't ready for that.
That's like a birthmark or something?
It's a birthmark. They're going to have to get
wow,
a laser.
Wow, right on your face. Wow.
And I was like... I was like, who is this kid, man? And they had an up-close picture, and the kid's trying to smile, and one side looks like a cute baby. The other side looks like an old little man with
wow.
at 5 o'clock shadow. And it's got like a layer of fuzz on the face.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're going to get it removed. But it actually, when you, after like 5 pictures in, you kind of think it's cute because it looks like kind of looks like a little
like a Jack Russell.
He looks like a little gremlin on one side of his face. But I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's funny.
Yeah, you know, you just think you're going to look at another baby.
Yeah. I'm sure they didn't think it was funny, but it sounds funny to me.
No, I didn't do it in front of the family. It was just my friend. And it was an interesting little birthmark. I mean, I have a birthmark on my arm.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's not bad. That's not as bad as on your face.
It's not as bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is. I wouldn't get it removed because it's just, you know.
It's you.
Yeah, it feels like it's me. It makes me feel special. But if it was, like, right on my face, I probably would.
Yeah.
But I know people that have birthmarks on their face. What are you going to do?
Really?
Yeah. There's different kinds. Like, this one guy I know, his is just kind of like a red.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a red birthmark
oh,
thing.
Oh, wow. On
yeah.
the face?
Yeah.
Wow. That's not cool.
That's mean, Sam.
That's not cool at all.
Well, he works it. He you know, it doesn't really. It's not that shocking, but it's slight. But it's enough to go, oh, what is that? Oh, no big deal. But you get used to it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You get used to it.
Yeah. So you going running today?
Uh-huh.
You all dressed up for workout and stuff?
Yep. I'm gonna go work it out. Get my run in. Enjoy the day.
Mhm.
What are we, Wednesday? Same thing. It's Friday, right?
Perfect.
Yeah. Let the drinks go.
So you were saying you might go out of town. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Is that for your reunion?
No. That's not till end of September. This is a friend of mine's birthday. He was supposed to come out here, and plans have changed, and I will be going out there.
Oh, I see.
Which is actually kind of cool because I have two younger brothers, one of which long story short, you know, he ended up in Florida, mm-hmm. living with a girlfriend. They were in a hotel with no money, and he had nowhere to go, and right. no family, right? So right. one of these weird stories. I'll save the whole story.
Uh-huh.
You know, parents just weren't there for him, right? We have different dads, but same mom, right?
Right.
And my mom's nuts. So it's kind of like he's the last one to get out of her craziness, you mm-hmm. know? So we're kind of like, oh, we need to help him out. But he knows.
Get him out of there.
He's actually extremely smart and very well-adjusted for somebody that's grown up in nuts, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so my other brother, who's older than him, younger than me, basically got him a ticket to come out to Texas and is helping him get on his feet and get a job and all that stuff.
That's cool.
So it's cool, actually. He just mm-hmm. he's been there less than a week, and he already has a job, and he's getting a car, and all these good things are happening for him. So it's really, really exciting. Mm-hmm. So my brothers are kind of hanging out and getting to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then my aunt's there, who I'm really close to, and so I'm going to get to go and, like, see them,
mm.
which will be fun.
Yeah.
Which
would be cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, you know, because it's like having relatives that you really love, but you can't, you can't be that close to them because of where you live.
Right.
So, and, you know, my youngest brother's just grown up so quickly. Like, I used to, you know, teach him how to swim and mm-hmm. babysit him, and now he's 21. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I mean, you have kids, you know what I mean? He's not my kid, but it's that feeling of, I just remember him being like a little baby bear,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
so freaking cute.
We all grow up, let me tell you. Eventually, we all do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this male flight attendant, I guess, got into an altercation with a passenger. Did you hear about
this
one? A JetBlue flight attendant who apparently got into an altercation with a passenger, then grabbed a couple of beers and slid off a plane through the escape chute, and he's been released on bail. So he got into a...
I'm sorry, was this during the plane... Was in the air?
It wasn't during flight, no, obviously.
But he went through the escape chute?
Yeah.
This was the attendant?
The flight attendant, yeah.
He was like, screw this, I'm out of here?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had escape chutes.
Yeah, I guess they do. And the flight attendants know how to use them. What do you mean you don't think that you didn't know they have them?
You're not talking about the exit rows, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, he went out through an exit row.
No, but they have those chutes. You know, when the plane is in trouble or something, they have those inflatable things, and it's like a slide.
Yeah, that's through the exit rows.
Right.
He just popped that thing open, inflated
it. I guess, yeah.
He's like, screw this.
Yeah.
And he took a couple beers
with
him?
Yeah.
That's
But he got in a fight with a passenger, man.
Not physical.
Yeah.
Physical.
Oh, altercation.
They got in a physical fight?
Yeah. That's why he took off.
Oh, so he's in trouble not for using the escape route. He's in trouble for hitting the dude?
Yeah.
That's freaking funny, man. That is really funny. Now I'm out of this job. This job sucks.
Yeah.
Fluff open the door and slide down with a couple beers. Party! That is freaking funny. That's so...
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different ways people would love to quit their job. You know, have you ever quit a job dramatically?
Dramatically? I'm trying to think about it.
It's probably no.
Probably. I don't know. I mean, I can't think of anything big, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes I would maybe tell them off or something.
Yeah, I have one that I've never been fired from a job, but this is questionable if I was fired because I was kind of quitting, so it's hard to tell. But I was working at, you know, the burger place, the Oinksters, you know. Mm-hmm. Wasn't very emotionally invested in this
oink,
job.
Oink.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. Thanks for pointing that out.
I still can't believe you worked there.
Dude, you do what you got to do for a job.
That's true. I mean, I'm not criticizing
look,
you.
Look, I'm telling you, I went on so many interviews, and this is the only freaking place that's hiring me. Okay.
Did you have to wear, like, a funny hat and
no,
a funny
uniform?
No,
it's a fun place to work. It's kind of a little bit like a sports bar type place. Mm, but it's not, because they serve alcohol, and they have flat screens, and they, you know, but it's right. also burgers.
Mm.
People will be like, you want to make that a combo? And I'm like, well, do you want to make it a regular combo or an Oinkster combo? Which is do you want the regular fries or the piggy?
Well, that's a way to make a living for sure.
Or you make the piggy fries.
Yeah. So they were firing.
So here's
you?
No. I was quitting. So here's the thing. It was Halloween weekend,
mm-hmm.
and I had asked our manager, hey, can we dress up for Halloween? Because these are what my priorities are in life, guys.
Uh-huh.
I just squeeze the fun out of everything. I'm like, look, it's Halloween weekend. I'm working at this dumb. It's actually great. You guys go to Oinksters. I'm endorsing it because the food is amazing. It's in Eagle Rock. Okay. It's amazing. It's great. It was on the Food Network, too. Very, very good place. But they, she was like, oh, no, you can't dress up for Halloween. And I was like, think about it. Just sleep on it. She's like, no, you can't, Kara. You can't. And I said, just, you know, just don't react. Don't just, don't, let's not make a knee-jerk reaction here. Just take a nap, sleep on it. Think about it. It's Halloween weekend. This is a neighborhood place. Mm. How fun would it be for people to walk in and see the, you know, their local Oinkster people dressed up as something?
Right.
You know? And she's like, no. And I was like, okay, I'm not pushing it. I just, we'll talk tomorrow, okay? Just sleep on it, okay?
You just would not take no for an answer.
No. So I showed up to work fully dressed in my Oinkster outfit, okay? Normal outfit. But right. I had on really bright red lipstick, and then I had a bunch of this glitter on my cheeks that really made it glow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had fake eyelashes on, okay?
Right.
That's it.
Which is not a big deal.
That's what I thought, right?
Right.
But she was there. She wasn't supposed to be working, but she was there. And I was like, shit. But I wasn't dressed up. I just had on like a happy face. You know? I just had like on a, I'm getting ready for Halloween face. Mm-hmm. And I went in there and I was trying to not make eye contact with her and look at her and everything. And then finally somebody's like, oh, can you go get so-and-so in the back? I was like, damn. So I was just kind of like, hey, and I didn't look at her. I kind of had to the side of my face. I was like, hey, da-da-da-da's out there for you. She's like, what? I said, da-da-da-da's out there for you. She's like, okay. And then she comes back up to me. She goes, what's with the dressing up? What's with this? I said, I'm not dressed up. I'm in regular outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, what's with the glitter? I said, well, it's flair. It's happy. I thought we talked about this. No, we didn't talk about this. We talked about actually outfits.
Yeah.
And she goes, you know, you need to go wash that off in the bathroom. I'm like, why? She's like, it's going to fall on the French fries. I said, this is not going to fall on the French fries. She's like, the glitter is going to fall in the French fries. I said, first of all, I was a makeup artist, and this is an adhesive glitter. It is a liquid glitter that is on the skin. It's not loose. If it was a loose glitter, I could understand that, but it's right. not. Yeah. And she's like, no, you got to wash it off. I said, listen, if I go wash this off, I'm going to come back and I'm going to have two white streaks on the top of my cheekbones and everything else is going to be tan because you made me wash off that one patch and it's going to look stupid. I'm actually having this debate with her about how stupid I'm going to look.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you're the one that defied what she told you.
No, I mean, she didn't say I couldn't wear makeup. She said I couldn't dress up.
Yeah, but you knew you were pushing your luck there.
Yeah, I knew I was getting a happy and apparently that's against the rules. So, So she's like, you need to wash it off or you need to go home. And I said, well, looks like I'm going to a couple Halloween parties. Piss! She's like, come here. And I was like, what's up? She's like, this isn't going to work out. I'm like, oh, you just not figuring that out? I'm out of here. Two Halloween parties. And then I had lent these leprechaun socks to like the assistant manager and he was in there like stressing out. I was like, hey, I'll get those socks from you next time I come in here. Because he's going to be a leprechaun.
Yeah. Oh, God. Story, man. You just don't live by the rules.
That really wasn't a rule. She said no dressing up. I mean, legally, we could even go to court with it, and I'd win.
Yeah.
Because she said you cannot dress up. She did not include glitter on your face. That was an adhesive glitter and was not any kind of health violation. But whatever. It was a power issue.
Probably,
it was a power issue.
Yeah.
So I did. I went to like two or three Halloween parties that weekend.
She's your boss. You know, you don't go arguing with them.
Well, I did. And it wasn't like I was emotionally invested.
And you see it
wasn't
how it ended.
Well, I don't think I'm crying in my tears, and because of me, I've got fun stories to tell that you don't have. You can't talk about getting fired / quitting because of glitter. I can. You're welcome.
Do I really need a story like that in my life?
When you're an entertainer, you need to have arsenal. You need to have stuff to talk about.
I see. Even when you get fired, huh?
It all goes in the same thing.
Yeah.
I've got stories for days. Not like that, because I've never had that kind of a run-in. I mean, I used to work as a sales director for a company. Called Direct Buy, and they're franchised and corporately owned throughout the U.S. and a few other places. And it was just weird. It was one of those, the housing market hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
That whole recession with the housing, and it's in the housing industry. And so it was just slow, and things weren't, it just was not working.
Right.
And it was a commission-only job, so I was, you know, I wasn't getting paid to be there unless any deal I wrote, I made, you know, that's how you made your money.
Right.
And we would do a lot of sales training throughout the day, things like that. And what was funny with it is they're having like this whole changeover, corporate's coming in to assess what's going on, and they're trying to basically whatever, micromanage. Mm-hmm. Well, we would do this. We'd get to work, we'd have our first tour, which was our sales thing.
Right.
Then we would go and we'd pretty much all leave and then come back for the next tour.
Right.
We wouldn't sit around and train. Sometimes we did a lot of training, but then we would kind of start to leave towards the end.
Mm.
You know, we're not getting paid to be there anyway. It's like, let's leave.
Yeah.
Well, the one day that I leave and I'm actually gone for 3 or 4 hours, everyone else stays.
Mm.
And I walk in, and I can't see, I don't see any of the other sales staff. And I see, like, corporate shoes walking by. And I turn the corner, and the people that I work with are, like organizing files and books. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? They're like, corporate's here, Kara. Like, we've been waiting for you. Where have you been? They're so mad. They are so mad. I was like, shit, what do I do? They're like, just walk up to them. I was like, oh, man, I'm in so much trouble. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to do what I like to call flipping the script.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm going to act like I'm not in trouble and that they're in trouble. I'm going to act like they're the ones that are late from lunch and not me.
Uh-huh.
So I just went into actress mode. So I walked up and I had my briefcase and everything and my awesome little sales outfit on. I was like, hey, guys, how's it going? I heard you guys were waiting for me. What's going on? What's up? And they were looking at me like puzzled. They were like, well, where have you been? And I said, well, was on a lunch break. Where have you been?
Is that what you told him?
Something along the lines. He goes, well, we've been waiting for you. I said, oh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, he goes, lunch is like 30 minutes. I said, oh, really? I thought it was an hour. He's like, well, you're still late from an hour. I was like, well, that's true, actually. But, you know, normally we just kind of take our time with it.
Yeah.
And I said, but I'm here now. You ready to get started? He's like, well, where did you go? What'd you do? I said, oh, well, if you want to know, I had a salad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and had a coffee. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the bank. And I'm here now. Let's get started. You guys ready? Let's go. So they're all weirded out that I'm like, who is this girl? Start doing this. So that and it's not just one. It's like a couple of these corporate people.
Uh-huh.
I'm leading them to the sales meeting,
right.
Which I'm not even like the one throwing the sales meeting, but I'm in character, right? So right. We're walking and I said, hey, hey, Frank, I love that blue on you. I love that shirt. Looks good. It looks really good on you. And then somebody else was wearing blue. I was like, hey, it looks good on you too.
God, you know, I would have bitch slapped you.
I'd put you in handcuffs if that happened. But no, it's funny. So we get in there and like, they're drilling us on all these sales questions and everything. It's just kind of like going through the motions. And I'm still feeling like I got to keep up this persona of like I'm not in trouble and they're in trouble,
mm-hmm.
so that they don't, you know, crack down on me. And I was already going to leave the company because it was one of these. It was dead. It was dying. You know.
Right.
So we were in there and he started asking all these questions. Well, what happens if somebody says this or what are all these sales questions, right? And I raised my hand to answer every one of them. And
yeah.
I think I got like every one wrong. But I was like, I'm just going to keep raising my hand. So I kept raising my hand. And I would say it like, you know what? That would be feel, felt, found issue. Actually, no, Kara. Da-da-da. Okay, got it. Da-da-da. You know, that would be da-da-da-da. And I was wrong every time. And
yeah.
I was learning this this presentation, which was it's a hour and like 20 minute long scripted presentation.
Right.
And I was supposed to have it memorized because I was moving up basically. I was doing really well, but there wasn't a lot to do well with because again the company, the franchise I was with was totally going under.
Right.
And anyway, so he was like, well, you know, you've been working on the script. Let's how much of it do you have memorized? I said, I'd say about 75%.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, get up here and give us your 75%. I said, Frank, 75 is a relative term.
Relative
term. You know, it's more like 15, 10.
In short, they should have fired your ass a long time ago.
No, I had some high numbers, though. Mm. I did really well. My numbers were, like, top.
I see.
So that's why they were, like, they were pissed, but they wanted me to stay because I did well.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, so I said, yeah, it's more like 10%.
Mm.
He's like, well... Why don't we get, he goes, would you like to get up here and give your 10%? I said, you know what? I would not like to get up here and give my 10%. In fact, I'd like to talk to you in the hall. Is that cool? And so I took him out of his own business sales meeting and brought him outside to tell him what my big dreams were in life and how this didn't fit in and how, you know what? This is the amount of time I'm going to give you to find somebody to replace me.
Wow.
And he's like, but you could do, then he starts trying to keep me on the job. But you could do great at this. Da-da-da. I'm like, but it's not what I want to do as a career.
Well, what can I tell you?
It's really
but going back to this flight attendant, because I'm fascinated with this.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Check it out, how this started, okay? I guess, you know how they tell you not on the plane not to get up and stand up until the plane stops?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I guess this guy decided he's going to stand up.
This is who's standing up, the passenger.
The passenger, okay. Yeah. So the flight attendant, Slater, asked him to sit
His
down.
His name's Slater?
Slater.
Woo! That already means he's ready to get...
He asked the passenger to sit down, but the passenger continued to remove the bag, which struck Slater in the head. Slater asked for an apology, and the passenger refused and cursed him. That's when Slater got on the plane's public address system, passenger, okay, someone wrote on the blog, to the passenger who just called me a motherfucker, fuck you. I've been in this business 28 years and I've had it. And that's when he grabbed the beer. Oh, man. Can you imagine watching this in the plane?
You're getting your money's worth.
Yeah.
You're just getting your money's worth. Listen to that. Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. So, he was jailed and they let him go, I guess.
I mean, what are they going to,
yeah,
get mad at him for?
Well, it's an assault, you know.
No, he was hit by the passenger, right?
Well, with his bag, but I don't think it was on purpose. Or do you think it was?
No, it says, okay.
It just says the bag struck Slater in the head.
But Slater's the passenger.
No, Slater's the flight attendant.
Yeah, so I'm saying he's the one that was hit.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it's not like he was assaulted or anything, you know.
Yeah, so nobody was hurt, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's really freaking funny. It says he activated the emergency slide, ran into his car in the employee lot, and drove home.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, I'm seeing here there's four surprising reasons why women can't lose weight. Okay? And these are pretty interesting. It says that one reason could be a sluggish thyroid. And, you know, because it makes the hormones to regulate the way your body uses energy.
Yeah.
So an underactive thyroid disrupts your metabolism. So that's one way. Another one is out of whack hormones. As many as 1 in 10 women of childbearing age have polycystic ovary syndrome, a condition which a woman's ovaries produce an excess of male hormones. Wow. So I guess that would get you to gain some weight. And the third one is trouble making foods, you know. But people, they're saying many people aren't aware of food intolerances. So, you know, I mean, food allergy is one thing, but food intolerance, I guess, includes, sensitivity to food additives and things like that. So they could keep you from losing weight as well. And the final thing is pills that pack on the pounds. Weight gain can be an unwelcome side effect of some drugs, including antidepressants, steroids, and more rarely, birth control pills.
I wouldn't. That's why I won't do birth control, because even though it's not for everybody, but some people can, side effect is with certain drugs is, you know, yeah, weight gain. I'm like,
yeah,
not even
I don't need
gonna,
that.
I'm not even going to, I mean, just because, you know, I have to work out hard to be average sized. Right. I don't even need to go near anything that possibly could pack on pounds without me even enjoying it. Like, if you're not cake and it's not my issue that I need to put the cake down,
yeah,
hell no, I'm not taking birth control. I'm just going to chance it.
Yeah, you're going to chance it?
No, I don't have a chance. I do safe sex, but I'm just saying I'm not going to be taking something that alters. Also, it's funny you're talking about hormonally speaking. You know, they say that, well, it's been shown that with some cases of women with very low sex drives, mm-hmm, beyond, you know, some other, like one of the issues that could be the case is low testosterone.
I see.
Because it's the sex drive hormone.
Right.
And so some women just, they're depleted of that and they're just like, oh, they can't get into it.
Yeah.
They're not into it at all.
And then men have too much of it and we're all sexed up all the time.
Yeah, I did I actually have it on my comedy reel. I did a corporate gig for this organization called MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers, mm-hmm, and it was in Scottsdale. And, you know, really, it was very interesting. I was kind of nervous. I'm like, I'm not a mom. I don't have a mom haircut. I don't have kids. I don't, you know, I'm just not in that world. And I thought, mm-hmm, oh, they're not going to like me. But they freaking loved me. Oh, my gosh.
Really?
They just thought I was the funniest, coolest, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just nuts. But I made it all about them, about being a mom and how, you know, it's such a, I was really there to celebrate them.
Right.
But one of the ways that I opened up the show was I said, you know, I did a really funny song and I changed the words to I Will Survive to be like, this is their night out. Like, it was funny because this was an event where it was the MOPS put it on at a local church, a really, mm-hmm, big church. About 300 ladies show up and it's like their mom's night out, right?
Right.
And I'm like the entertainment for a whole hour, right? And I'm like, oh, the pressure's on, you know, these moms. I don't know if they're going to like me. I'm their whole freaking entertainment. They're all coming out, 300 ladies. And I changed the words to I Will Survive to fit like these ladies. I was like, so you're out, you're going to a show, because what happens at your local church no one has to know, and you will survive, you know. They're like, yeah, it was funny. You could, they were dying laughing, but I came on and I wore a crazy outfit anyway. And I said, ladies, we're here to really celebrate you and honor you. I said, let's talk about the job of a mom real quick, you know.
Right.
I was like, overworked, and they were like clapping, woo.
Yeah.
I was like, under.
You're there to tell them what it's like to be a mom.
Well, that's I said you're under overworked. They're like, woo, underappreciated, woo, underpaid, woo. And I said possibly undersexed, and they're like, woo. They were just going crazy. They were like, woo. Like that, just they were just thought that was hysterical that, you know, somebody's telling them, because I guess they were,
yeah,
undersexed, whatever that means. I just went with it.
Yeah. It's no wonder. I mean, if you've been around little kids and stuff, the last thing you think about is sex, you know.
Well, I think it's probably knowing the friends of mine that that work with children every day and work really hard and that are moms, it's, you know, they just they've worked so hard that either when the time comes for them to have that opportunity, they're too tired to do it, or they, you know, when they want to do it, they can't.
Right.
Because they're, you know, they're chained to a toddler.
To a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm single.
Yeah, but you may not be for long. You know, you won't be forever.
Who knows?
So,
I might.
No,
I wonder,
you won't.
I wonder if it's better.
I don't see you living on your own for the rest of your life. I really
do. From now, oh, I always live on my own. I never want to share the remote control. And have to smell you in my mouth. Anyway.
Smell you in my mouth?
No. No, anyway. You know, there's, I think it's nasty. It's kind of like...
That's what it sounded like.
Anyway, it's kind of like, I think men would love to be single to their 80s, but the idea that a woman wants to be single that long is just doesn't have the same ring to it.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I think most men decide to be attached, so I don't think that's the case.
Really? I think I meet tons of men that are like, yeah, I love being single, and they love being single to their 80 almost.
Yeah, well, it depends what age, you know.
Yeah.
But look, I mean, all these women are marrying men, you know, obviously, and... You know, so...
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's not... For me, it's not that I want to be single and I don't want to be with anybody. It's just the life that comes with being married.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine and I'm like, you know, if you think about it, when a man and woman are attracted to one another, they're attracted to the individual of who that person is. And they're attracted to their personality, obviously their looks. They're attracted to their ambitions and what they've done with their life and where they're going.
Right.
And they're attracted to that excitement and energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is these two people come together and they make one life together. And now it's not about the individual anymore. It's about this unit. And you have to do that in order to have a functional operating marriage and relationship and possibly...
Right, but the healthy way would be still to maintain your individuality.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm not an expert because I haven't had to do that. And I just wonder, though... You know, then you become something that's familiar and you become something functional,
mm-hmm.
but then you're still attracted to, you know, these people. You're attracted to other people because you're human. It's natural.
Right.
You're gonna still be attracted to other people,
mm-hmm.
but you're attracted to kind of their life and their excitement and their ambitions. And the same reason that you're attracted to your wife, you recognize those things in other people and you're, you know, you're really attracted to them. And I guess what I'm saying is, what you become once you get married isn't the same thing as what you're attracted to.
Right.
And not that that's bad. I'm not saying I never want to do that. I just kind of go, well, it's just, you know, maybe it's immature of me, but I just think it's really fun.
Yeah. I think once you find the guy,
no, I've met
out,
somebody.
You know?
I've met somebody.
Because,
but it's the life that scares me. It's not the person. It's the
right.
life.
No, I know. But it's simply because you're not ready for it yet. You know, and you will be at one time. I think you'll want kids.
Yeah. What age did you get married your first time?
30.
Mhm.
Yeah.
I got 2 more years.
No, I'm sorry. I was 27.
Oh, you got married way
before. No, I was 27.
Earlier than I did. Okay.
Yeah. It was a mistake, of course, but, you know, family pressure.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
What do you think about all that pressure? You think people get married out of a lot of pressure?
Some do. Some do.
I think
and
a lot
that's
of people
not
do.
A good reason to get married, mm-mm. yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel that kind of societal pressure in a way, and I don't even live in Texas. I just feel that kind of like, well, this is the next step.
Right.
And the thing is I do know somebody. I am in love with someone. Mm-hmm. I am. It's just we have a lot of complications with where we live and things like that.
Right.
And that life really scares me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the person. It's just what am I going to have to give up?
Yeah.
You know, which I think is honestly, I think it's good to look at it really, really, really seriously and go, let me really weigh my options here and consider the cost. I think everything in life, right, you should do that.
That's why you got to live with someone before you get married. You got to test drive it and see what it's
well,
like.
Well, you know, statistically speaking, divorces are higher among people that have lived with each other before they get married. And second of all, I've actually lived with this person before.
Forget about statistics.
Well,
I'm telling you
two sides of it. This is what statistics say. I actually do agree with it in a way, because I know a lot of people that they move in with each other, they have sex, they're already playing house, mm-hmm, and then the guy never marries the woman.
Right.
You know, and women are like, what? And I know that's not the way a woman wants.
No, but we're talking about men that do marry the women.
Yeah, well, afterwards. And then second of all, I've actually, when I was much younger, when we were first dating, we lived together.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah, but now it's different. What I'm saying is you got to practice playing house and see what it's like, you know, so that way it's easier to get out than after you get married. You know, I don't think you want surprises before you get married. You know, you want to know what you're getting into. Because otherwise it's too late, you know, and then you have to go through a divorce. And if you have kids, it's even more complicated. So you got to practice first. That's what I think. I don't know. You don't have to go with that.
Well, I mean, for me, I've already experienced it with this person, so.
Yeah.
I know what it's like. Like, if I'm in town and we hang out, I stay at this person's house, I know what it's like.
Yeah. Okay. So, the hell with listening to me. What do I know?
Nothing.
Yeah. You just always have to argue.
No, I'm telling you the reality of the situation. I'm not really arguing
with
you.
That's not a reality of the situation.
You don't even know what I'm saying, then. You're saying you should live with somebody, and I'm saying,
right,
I hear where you're coming from. I've actually, right, I've lived with this person.
Right.
So I know what you mean.
But do you think that's how the marriage is going to be, the way it was when you guys lived together?
I think that there's some definite, things that you see about a person when you've lived with them, mm-hmm, that you don't just see their good side. You see their day in, day out.
Right.
What's it like to be a partner with this person? What's it like,
right,
to...
So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. The gritty side of a human.
Right.
Just like, it's like for me, I mean, I think one thing that makes, I think one thing that's given me a lot of preparation for being married, believe it or not, is having a million roommates, because, mm-hmm, I've always had to share my space, and,
right,
I've constantly been very close with my girlfriends, where I know what it's like to love somebody that gets on your nerves, that,
right,
you just can't stand certain things about them, but you just adore them at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And you have to work through that. Boom, 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 boom. And learning how to be respectful of their space and respectful of their quirks, and then learning how to voice your issues, and just the tug of war that kind of comes along with mm-hmm, you know, living with another human being, because nobody's perfect. And,
right,
you know, nobody has it right. And I'm pretty well, I think, equipped to... and adaptable to living with somebody. Whereas, mm-hmm, for somebody, specifically men, if I were to meet a guy that has never had to, you know, share a space, I would be much more like, ooh, this might be some major growing pains.
Right.
Because he may not be used to, you know, after the honeymoon, you know, like,
yeah,
what it's like to actually have to.
Yeah. No, you need to know what you get yourself into.
Like,
you
for
know?
You, when you were dating prior to your wife now, mm-hmm, I mean, did you have any living girlfriends, or did you?
No.
No. And you were single for how long prior to meeting your wife?
I don't know, about 3-4 years.
Was it difficult when you guys got married, like just the living?
Actually, it wasn't that long. It was maybe only a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
A year or two.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Usually, I don't know how I always get involved in a relationship, you know. Sometimes I just want to be single, but I don't. I meet someone and I fall in love, you know. So I've never been like single for a long time, you know, for long periods of time.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah,
there you go. And you say that men are afraid of that, but I'm not, you know.
Well, no, I'm not saying everyone.
Although on the one hand, I would prefer to stay single for the rest of my life. But on the other hand, I'm practical and I know that I want to be with someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to share my life with someone. So
was it an adjustment for you though when you got married? Living with your wife?
At first it was, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think I could live with someone, you know, like even share the same bed, because I just got used to it, you know, being alone and that. So
yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of strange in the beginning. But,
yeah,
you know, you get used to it. You get used to it because it's cool. It's cool. Actually, today I can't imagine not being in bed with my wife, you know, when
Aww.
We go to bed and stuff.
That's,
you know,
really sweet.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
So, you know, I mean, you develop a certain attachment, and then You know, it's all like trade-offs and stuff, mm-hmm. you know?
Everything,
all
yeah.
of life is trade-offs, yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything, yeah. They're saying that a study here says that 20% of people are in love with someone else.
Than their spouse?
Yeah. How terrible is that, huh?
Well, considering the amount of married men that hit on me, I'm... See, like,
yeah, but they're not necessarily in love with
yes,
you.
Yes, they are. They all love. They want to know my soul. They want to know my favorite color and about my childhood. My dreams. They love me so. No, I just see a lot of... You know, I believe in marriage. I really do. I think it's an institution of God. I think it's beautiful. And I think that it's just a lot of work. And a lot of people jump into it not knowing what it is and not knowing... What yeah. it requires. And
or they're probably not even in love, you know?
Yeah.
That's why they end up being in love with someone else, which is terrible. I mean, to find out something like that about your spouse, that would be awful.
Yeah, like if somebody I know, you know, is going through divorce and finding out things that, you know, things that she thought were there when mm-hmm. she got married that she looks back, she's like, oh, that really wasn't there.
Mm. Yeah.
You know.
Sometimes we're blind, I guess, to the things that
or sometimes
are going
you get married out. For the wrong reason, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I think the only reason you want to get married is if you want to have a family and if you want to spend the rest of your life with that person. You know? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, don't get married because it's not going to work out. You know, it's got to be genuine. Mm. It's got to be I really love this person. I really want to be with them. They compliment me, they complete me, and
mm-hmm.
that's the thing. But even then, you know, I mean, you guys can stay together for the rest of your life. So without getting married, it doesn't have to be a marriage thing. So, you know, I think if you want to start a family and have kids and stuff, that's a good reason to get married. Otherwise, I don't think it helps anyone. You know, I mean, in fact, I've heard of many people that have lived together for 7-12 years and then they get married and they break up, you know, they break it off completely because they realize that the marriage changed the dynamics in the relationship. Go figure, you know.
That's interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Like, what is it about that changed it, maybe?
Yeah, I think maybe you start taking each other for granted or something, you know.
Mm.
And you don't pay as much attention. I don't know. What the hell do I know?
So I was trying to tell you, Sam, what do you know? No, I'm just playing.
Yeah. There's an article here on 6 steps for making a man fall madly in love. Now, you know, I'm not going to go through this, but it's just the headline. I mean, why is it that women are so involved in, like, making a man fall in love with you? You know, it's got to happen, you know? You don't go and you make arrangements and things like that.
Yeah.
So I don't understand that. And it makes women seem like they're helpless and hopeless and desperate. You know?
Yeah. No, I know. It's like, why is it the woman's responsibility to?
Yeah.
You know, why does she always have to be like, ah?
Because most women want to be in love. They want to fall in love and make that man fall in love with me, you know, and happily ever after.
Yeah.
All right, Kira, we're out of time. I see you're like half out of here already.
Yeah, right.
Doing stretches and everything.
Look, man, I just need a little get my circulation going. What's
I see.
Down?
Okay. So go and run your heart out. And everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Tomorrow is what, Thursday? So we'll be here live. See you later.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.